The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you give us the truth. And now we ask that your truth may be found in the midst of the meditation of each and every heart, in the words that I speak, and to your glory, Lord. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Each of us who spend time driving around the community and various places that life seems to take us, I know that you have encountered those billboards along the highway that pretend to be messages from God. They're usually black with white words, and some of them are cute, and they bring a smile to the face. Some of them can make you stop and think for just a moment. There is one in eastern Tennessee that states this: "Don't make me come down there." And it's signed God. It is unfortunate that throughout the history of Christianity that this kind of fear-based message, this type of message, that many religious folks, this is what they proclaim to the world, that God is out to get them. The ancient Greeks, they told stories of angry, jealous gods who all they wanted to do was wreak havoc on humanity without rhyme or reason. The Romans, they blended both state and temple allegiance to God and emperor. They just made it all kind of fit into one thing. So you didn't know who you were really listening to or who you were worshiping. There were versions of Judaism that emphasized strict obedience to the law because there was an angry God there ready to purify the world with fire and lightning. And we can even throw ourselves in there, even in the Christian era. There was an elaborate late medieval system of mortal and venial sins, confession, absolution, pilgrimages, indulgences, all the things that one must do to win favor with God. And you know, even you and I today, we can take parts of the book of Revelation, we can take them out of context and be successful in scaring the daylights out of a person who doesn't believe and act perhaps in the right way. Besides, who in their right mind, golly, who in their right mind would worship and love and adore a God who uses threats and violence to get his own way anyway? Yet over and over again in the history of God's dealings with humanity, and more importantly with humanity's attempt to deal with God, have we found ourselves overwhelmed by systems of belief and religious practice whose only purpose seems to be to keep an angry God at bay, to make sure that God stays up there where he belongs and doesn't come down here to mess with you and me. The wonderful truth that we celebrate on Reformation Sunday is the fact that Luther discovered, and I'll put that in quotes there, discovered, if you will, that this great elaborate system that we have, humanity has dreamed up over the years to try to win God's favor, simply wasn't needed, nor was it true. This is why Lutherans use the same gospel lesson every Reformation Sunday. You will know the truth, and the truth, it will make you free. Jeremiah, the Old Testament lesson, written some 2,000 years before Luther, states, "I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Our psalm today, written many, many years before Luther, reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's good news. Luther. We all know that Martin Luther was a professor of the Bible at Wittenberg University, and he did most of his lecturing from the book of Psalms. And he learned much of what he knew about the goodness and the forgiveness of God from those very Psalms that he spent so much time working in. And then you and I can look in Scripture as well. We can look at the Apostle Paul in Romans, who writes, "For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law." And even 1,000 years just before Luther, St. Augustine said, "This righteousness of God, therefore, lies not in the commandment of the law, which excites fear, but in the aid afforded by the grace of God." You know, I could go on and on. There are many, many people, many examples. People like Peter Waldo in France, or John Wycliffe, or John Huss in Moravia. Many, many others who preceded Luther in rediscovering that golden thread that just runs through the Bible from beginning to the very end. Luther did great work, but Luther was neither the first nor the last to be lifted up by God to speak in a particular time. Well, Luther was lifted up for his time, but God has lifted up people in every time and every place with a similar passion. For people to rediscover the truth of God's grace in the Scriptures. Now the times and the issues may change, but the truth of the gospel remains the same. Now, over 502 to be exact, we celebrated in 2017, didn't we, the 500th anniversary. 502 years have passed since Luther nailed his points of debate to the church doors there in Wittenberg. The battle of indulgences, it's no longer our battle. I believe you and I have a different battle. What we face today is a world full of people who have been so turned off by those who preach about an angry and judgmental God that they no longer care about the message of God, nor want anything to do with the church. You and I face a world gone deaf and indifferent to the truth of God. We live in a time where many believe that they have far better things to do than to listen to those who ultimately take a message of grace and somehow make it unrecognizable in a world that is full of pain and hurt. Those of us who gather around word and sacrament know a very important truth. We do not need to worry about God becoming angry. We don't have to worry about God coming down here, simply because God has already come and did not come to punish, but came to love you and me. When Jesus came to earth, there was hunger, social injustice. There was war raged upon the innocents, all in the name of such things as national security or truth or justice. And then as now, The values had become skewed, obscured, and unrecognizable. And basically no one knew who to trust. It was into such a world as that that Christ came. The message then and now is that we are not alone in the midst of the evil of this world. Christ has come to us in the midst of our distress. Christ came to show us love amid hatred and strife. Christ came to bring life in the midst of death. And his cross is an eternal reminder to each of us that Jesus didn't come to be cute and provide warm fuzzies or to put signs up along the highway to catch our attention. He came to preach, to teach, to heal, to suffer, and to die and rise again. Christ did not come to reward us for being good, no matter how hard we would try, how worthy we may make ourselves appear, but rather to save us from being bad. Christ came to show us the love and the care of God in the midst of a very dangerous and deadly world. Christ came to show us how to live and how to die. Christ came to die upon a cross for you and me, to save us from our sin, death, and the devil. And that, you see, is the good news. That's what needs to be lifted up on a Reformation Sunday. That golden thread that runs throughout the Scripture, in every story, in every word. Our calling this Reformation Sunday, our invitation from God, is to find our voice and then get up off of our chair and get out into the world, letting others know about this truth, the truth about God's grace, the truth about God's love. For that is the truth that will set them and us free. Amen.